Vermont lawmakers are still focused on dealing with the pandemic, which is understandable, but normal legislative work is still waiting. So they are also considering the biggest overhaul to Vermont's education funding system in 25 years. Critics of the current funding formula say it shortchanges schools from economically depressed areas of the state. And a bill passed by the Senate Education Committee on Friday would change the way Vermont distributes money to schools. It is a complex issue, so we've invited VPR's Pete Hirschfeld on to walk us through the details. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Mitch.
So before we get to that bill that Senate lawmakers passed last week, maybe you can give us a bit of context here. What is the fundamental problem that lawmakers are trying to address?
So to be clear right at the outset, Mitch, this is not about how we raise money to pay for schools. It's about how we distribute the funds that the property tax is generating for that education spending. Vermont spends about $1.8 billion a year on K-12 public education, and that money flows to schools based on the number of students in their classrooms. Here's the thing. There's a massive body of national research that has shown us it costs more to educate some kids than others. If you want a kid who lives in poverty to attain the same level of academic success as a kid from an upper middle class family, for example, you have to devote more resources and therefore spend more money in order to make that happen. The research also tells us it costs more to educate students who are English language learners. It costs more to deliver education in very rural areas as well. And critics of the current funding formula say it does not do enough to address those realities. They say lawmakers can fix this by changing the way we count students. Under one proposal, a student from poverty, for example, would get counted as three students. And this would have the effect of driving a larger share of our overall education dollars to districts with high rates of poverty.
So enter the Senate Education Committee, which says it has a solution, unanimously approving legislation on Friday that says would narrow those inequities you just mentioned. What would the bill actually do?
Nothing in the short run, actually, Mitch, but it sets up a six-person task force that would be made up of key lawmakers and administration officials who would come up with a proposal for lawmakers to act on next year. I talked with Bennington Senator Brian Campion, who's the chair of the Senate Education Committee, and he said this problem is just too complicated to work out in the context of a legislative committee room.
It's a massive shift, and, you know, and that's I think what my committee and others in the Senate have realized, that it would be a massive shift any year, but in a year where there's a global pandemic, it's particularly massive. And there are still a lot of questions that we need to have answered.
One big question, Mitch, is how exactly these changes in pupil weighting would sugar off for individual districts. There are going to be winners and losers for sure. And a lot of lawmakers want to understand precisely how this is going to affect their constituents before they commit to anything.
What about the prospects for this legislation in the House, Pete?
House lawmakers are amenable to the concept of a study committee. They're not convinced yet, though, that changing the way we count students is going to result in schools with lots of poor kids or lots of English language learners actually getting the additional resources they need to provide that equitable education. Changing the pupil weights doesn't automatically mean districts get more money. What it means is that if they keep their local property tax rates where they're at right now, those rates will generate more money for the schools. So if you make this change, school boards could decide to just keep school budgets where they're at right now and give their local residents a tax cut instead. Calais Representative Janet Ansel is the chair of the House Committee on Ways and Means. She's a very influential figure in this debate, and this is a real concern of hers.
If you have a high poverty district, and you adjust the weight so that the tax rate goes down, there's nothing that says that that district needs to keep their spending at that same level or increase it.
Janet Ansel says the legislature should look at other ways to address this resource gap, possibly, including maybe by creating a new system of financial grants for districts with high rates of students from poverty or districts with a large number of students who are English language learners.
Well, what about Governor Phil Scott, Pete? Do you have any idea if he supports this change?
It appears that the Scott administration definitely does support some kind of change to the funding formula. Secretary of Education Dan French, who is a Phil Scott appointee, says the current system is not equitable as it stands right now, and that the state needs to do something to fix it. the Vermont Constitution actually requires Vermont to deliver a substantially equal education to all students, regardless of what district they happen to live in. And Dan French says the current funding system likely is not meeting that constitutional threshold. He says he supports taking some time to get this right, thinks the study committee is the right approach, but he says lawmakers are going to have to do something concrete sooner than later.
And VPR will be following this bill and many others as the remote legislative session continues, and you can stay up to date with all our coverage at vpr.org. Pete Hirschfeld, thank you so much for helping us out with this complex legislation.
Thanks for having me on, Mitch.